The Gemara, at the beginning of the third parak of Brachos, has a fascinating discussion as to what the dead know. If the dead know what's going on in this world. And the Gemara told the story, Rabbi Yonasan were walking in the base of Kharos, and the Rabbi Yonasan's sisters were dragging on the ground. And Rabbi Chiya said, pick them up, because the Mason are going to complain. That tomorrow they're going to be joining us, but today they're busy making fun of us because they're waving mitzvahs in our face that we can't do anything. Rav Chiya said to her, Rav Yonasan said to Chiya, he said, do the Mason really know what's going on here? After all, it says in Koheles, Kia hayim yodim she'amusu, ha-meisin einam yode'im me'uma. The Mason know nothing. The dead know nothing. So Chiya responded to him and said, you obviously never learned properly. You read once, you didn't learn twice. You learned it twice, you didn't learn it a third time. If you read it three times, apparently they never explained to you what the pasuk meant. He explains that Kia Chayim Yodim Sheyamusu, Elu Tzadikim Shebenisasa Nikru Chayim. These are the Tzadikim who in their lifetime they are referred to as in their death they're still referred to as alive. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk that I'll come back to. And then the Mason, Enam Yodah Be'uma, these are the Bishan, who even when they're alive, are considered dead. And the Gemara goes on to quote a pasuk, they quote two pasukim, but the second pasuk is, Alpi Shnayim Edim, O Shlosha Edim, Yumat Hames. How do you kill a dead person? You can't kill dead people, you can only kill living people. The answer is, the Rasha, who violated the Aver, Sheish Bamisa, he was already dead. It was Yumat Hames. So what's pshat in this Gemara? What does this mean? The Rashi explains, Elu Tzadikim. These are the Tzadikim. Umay Yodim Sheyamusu. What does it mean that they know they're going to die? Everybody knows that they're going to die. There are a few crazies who think they're going to live forever. A few techno geeks who think they're going to preserve their lives and live forever. But everybody else understands that we're going to die at some point. So Rashi explains, Nosnim Elibam Yom Hamisa. They're aware of the fact that they're going to die. They're aware of their mortality. Umoshchem Yedeim in Ha'Avera. They refrain from Avera because they understand its implications. They understand they're not going to live forever and they're going to have to face God in judgment. But the Rishayim are dead because Enam Yodem Ma'uma, they know nothing. They pretend, or they maybe even delude themselves, as if there are going to be no consequences, and therefore they should. The Gemara then goes on to quote a pasuk. How do you know that the tzaddikim are called chai? Shenemar Ufayahu ben Yehuda Yehuda ben ish chai. That's actually the Ksiv Tosus points out, not the Kri. If the Kri is ish chayil, Yishai, Rav Polim Mikatzel. He was the one of many actions from Katzel, who hika eshnei Ariel Moav. He slaughtered the two, he killed the two Ariels of Moav, v'hu yarad hikas ha'ari b'toch habor b'yom ha'shalat. And he descended into the pit on the day of snow to kill the lion. The Gemara explains, Ben Yishai, atu kule alma, everybody else is the children of dead people. Ela ben ishai sha'afilu b'misasav karichai. Even when he would have been dead, he would still be living. Rav po'alim ikatzael, sheriba v'kibes po'alim for Torah. He brought many workers for Torah. And what does it mean, v'hu hika eshmei Ariel Moav? Shalohiniach kemosa lo b'mikdash rishon v'lo b'mikdash sheni. Ariel is a term for the Beis HaMikdash. Hoi Ariel, Ariel, Kiryas Chana David, and I think Yishaya. So he was greater than anyone in Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni. V'hu yarad yikas ari b'soch habar v'yamashalek. What was it that he killed the lion? Doesn't mean he literally killed the lion, but in the pit on the day of the Shabbat. So possibility one is the tavar ika da amre, the tavar gezize de barda v'nocha. He took chunks of hail and he crushed them and he did tefillah. Rashi says tefillah falkeri so he could study Torah. Others say, I think in the Targum it says he attached a sheret in order to study Torah. He wanted to do tefillah. So he went into an ice cold bath.
And then, ita da'amre, the tana sifra de beirav biyoma besitova.
He learned the hardest of limudim, the sifra de beirav, on a winter day. Besiyoma shalom. What is the Gemara talking about? So I think that it's worth invoking here a famous metaphor that I've mentioned before. This is a story about priorities and a recognition of priorities and of what's important. There's a story, the teacher walks into the classroom, you've heard this probably from me already. They have a glass jar, they take a bunch of rocks, and they fill the jar to the top. They ask the students, is the jar full? And the students say, yes, the jar is full. He then pulls out a bag of pebbles, and he starts to pour them into the jar to fill in the gaps, until he can't put any more pebbles in. And he asks the students, is the jar full? And the answer is, yes, it's full. He pulls out a bag of sand, and he starts to pour the sand into the jar. And now he says, the jar is full. What's the shot in the metaphor? If you try putting the sand in, and then the pebbles in, and then the rocks in, you will not get everything into the jar. It's only if you put the rocks in first, then the pebbles, then the sand. The rocks represent the most important things in life. The pebbles represent the things that are important, but not quite as important. And the sand represents the things that you want to do that are the least important. A person has to have their priorities in order. You have to know what's important in this world, what is not important in this world. You have to have a recognition that your time is limited. If you don't do the things that are important, when the opportunity arises, you won't have the opportunity to do them later. Very often, the sand represents things that are more fun, that are easier to do, which is why we gravitate to them. But if we don't recognize what the rocks are and their importance, we'll never get the rocks into the jar. The difference between tzaddikim, who are b'misasam kuriyim chayim, and rishayim, who b'chayim are kuriyim mesim, is that tzaddikim understand what's important. Priorities mean you understand there's a time limit. There's come a point where you can't do anymore. Where if you don't consider what you need to do now, what's important, what's the end game, you're never going to get there. Those are the rishayim, can't see at the outset what's important, what's coming down the road. Rishayim have no ability, I would say, to delay gratification, to think beyond the immediate present. That's what the Gemara means when it quotes the drasha Yumas HaMes. Do you know what it takes to get killed by a Beis Din? The Eidim have to warn the Rasha that you're violating an Isser Misa, and we're going to take you to Beis Din and execute. And he has to say, Apo Pekin. He has to have zero impulse control, right? He should know, this is the one case. Like, don't do it. Wait till the Eidim go. The Rasha can't think beyond the immediate present. Literally, what's in front of him, what he desires there. Tzaddikim understand that there are things we want to do, but that there are things that we have to do. We have to plan at the outset. We have to understand that when we're amongst the chayim, and especially when we're young, when we have a whole life in front of us, we have to have a plan, we have to have priorities, we have to know what's important and what's not important. The not important things can wait. They will, the sand will or won't get done, but the rocks better get done. There's a pasuk in a mizmar that we recite beginning Rosh Chodesh Elul. I know we're not in that season yet. That Ashkenazim at least recite. We recite Mizmar Chazai. Acha sha'alti meis Hashem osa avakesh. Shifti beveis Hashem kol yamei chayai. And what do we ask for? Ulevaker beheichalo. What does it mean, ulevaker beheichalo? So people typically translate to visit, like Bikur Cholim. But that's not pshat in Levaker Beheichalo. Some say it means to inspect, but why would you be coming to do to the mikdash to do an inspection, like lo yivakir bein tov v'ra? But pshat in that pasuk that's suggested by several rishonim is ulavakir behechalo means to spend the boker, to be there in the morning in Beis Hashem. But if you want to be there all of your lifetime and all of your days, kol yimei chayai, which doesn't mean all day, it means all the days of my life. Why the boker? Why is it important to be in the Beis HaMikdash and boker? The answer is that the boker represents the beginning of the day and metaphorically, the beginning of one's life. You want to be Beis Hashem in the morning. When you start your day, when you start your life, you want to be able to see the Beis HaMikdash, Avodas Hashem, those things that the Ribono Shalom wants from us as your priorities. Those have to be the rocks. If you don't, not there in the boker, if that's not your first order is shifti Beis Hashem, then you're going to wind up doing the sand and the pebbles first. This is true whether it's in learning, it's true in any kind of avodas Hashem, it's true in any kind of task that you want to accomplish. When you wake up in the morning, there is a day full of pregnant of possibility. You can choose to let that be frittered away. You can choose to engage in the sand and even in less than the sand. But really, you want to deal with the rocks. And this requires two qualities. The two ika da amres of what Benoyo Benoyada did tell us the two things you want to remember. And you need to remember this when you start the day, when you're fresh, when you have strength. Number one, he's jumping into the mix of ice water. I'm not recommending that you need to do a cold plunge to start the day. But that requires an act of fortitude and courage. It requires an act of stepping up. It's hard. It's like a sudden shock. It's got to step forward with the courage. And the second doesn't require that. It's just the Yom HaDesituva. You're sitting and plugging away, accomplishing, right? Everybody else is learning with chayyim because they're fun, but you're learning Sifra de Beirat. You're focused on getting the work done, doing the hard work. Doesn't require courage. It just requires sitting there and doing and producing. And it's on the days that it's not exciting. There's no Yom Yun. It's a Yom HaDesituva. You just have to buckle down and work hard. But you have to remember when you start your day and when you're starting off in life when you are young, this is the time that you have to set your priorities straight. You have to recognize what's important. And then you have to make sure that that's where you place your energies. So that instead of being like the mason, she'enam yodin ma'uma, and even when they're alive, they're called dead, the rishayim. Instead, you want to be like the tzaddikim, shafilu b'misasam kuryim chayim, because the tzaddikim understand, the wise tzaddikim understand that you have what to do, you have what to accomplish because we are not immortal and we have responsibilities. And so that is something that every one of us needs to do every day. But that's something that all of you who are really starting out in life, this is the opportunity to set your path in Avodas Hashem. It's what you have to take very seriously. Good Shabbos.